Well, good morning. How is everybody? Good to see you. You know, I should have known that Jim McBride was a pastor here for quite a long time, and this would be a mission-minded church. The church I pastored in Greensboro, we were a mission-minded church as well, and I think that's a sign of a healthy church, to reaching out not only in the world, but just like the group that's up here, going to the local schools. So you are blessed. And so pray for these folks that do that. It's not easy. We need the Lord's help in everything we do today, because I tell you, we face a lot of opposition today to get out into the marketplace. It's not like it used to be. Things have changed. I was an outreach leader in three or four different churches as I was a deacon for many years, and we had a very vigorous outreach, and we saw a lot of people come to know the Lord. But you know, you can't do outreach like you used to do. Our culture's changed. And not for the betters. So this morning, if you take your Bibles and turn to Judges chapter 6, I want to say that it's been a blessing to be able to share the Word of God with you these last couple of weeks. And today will be the last day for a while. I'm going to be visiting my grandkids and my children. But I appreciate the opportunity to share the Word of God with you these weeks. And I've got to know some of you, and this is a great church. God has blessed you, and I know that He has a lot of things ahead for you. The land you have and the vision you have to reach the lost, God will bless you, I know that. And the quartet did a great job this morning, didn't they? Good job. Thank you for that. Well, I'm going to get right into this because I don't want to get the time. I don't want to take a lot of time, but I want to get through this message in Judges chapter 6. And if you'll go to verse 11, we're going to be looking through verses 11 to 24. And so for the sake of time, I'm just going to get right into the message. Today, more than ever, peace, true peace, is hard to find in the world today. Someone said, when God reveals His character in a name, His new name to us, He also is pinpointing a need in our lives. Jehovah Shalom is the God of peace. And that's who I want to speak to you this morning about. Do you ever think there was a greater time that we needed peace in our world? Oh, how we need peace. The days of hate and war are here. Jehovah God says to you this morning, I am the God of peace, Jehovah Shalom. Pray with me if you would. Please bow. Oh, Lord Jesus, you who calmed and commanded the storm to stop, peace be still. How desperately we need that peace today. The Prince of Peace, to shine your love and your light into this dark, dark world. So, Lord, I pray today you'll speak to our hearts. Fill us with your wisdom and your peace. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. The world is full of chaos. And the psalmist said, pray for the peace of Israel. Why? Because they live right in the middle of those who worship a false god. A God of death. We worship a God of life, a living God. Our God knew how it would be in the latter days. And you can have peace in your heart, knowing that God has not lost control. Just like he said a minute ago, you know, God's in control. Sometimes we don't like what we see. But see, he's given us a free will. And it's because of that free will that we have a choice to love him. And he had a choice to love us as well. And he's loved us in the ugliest part of our being. But see, you will not, Israel will not, America will not, the world will not have peace until the Prince of Peace comes. And I know it's closer than it was yesterday. He's coming. And we better be ready. It says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I tell you, the older I get, the more I want to see him. I want to be before that throne, and I want to stand before there, and I just want to see his blessed face and see the eyes, those beautiful eyes, I know. The Prince of Peace will come to rule our land, and hopefully he's ruling in your heart this morning. Peace can rule in your heart right now. And it's a very important asset to have. You know, the rich will do anything to have peace. And so we've seen many rich people, have you seen, they go out and they buy an island. They got enough money. They go to faraway places and they spend great amounts of money and they try to find peace. But money won't buy peace. Many today are turning toward globalism. Oh, let's just have a one world global government. It's all in Revelation. You can understand it. I've been looking since I've been studying the Bible since I was 23 years old. And I know that this has been coming. The globalists, and you think, well, one good thing is we won't have any war because there'll just be one government and you won't have any freedom either. People even go so far to destroy their bodies to find peace. They shoot up with drugs and they take prescription drugs and they drink alcohol and they do excess and they'll do almost anything to find peace. But it does not come. In Judges chapter 6, if you take your Bibles, Judges chapter 6, we find a man named Gideon, a man that needs peace. And in verse 24, God tells Gideon, I am Jehovah Shalom, I am peace. Gideon didn't have any peace. And he lived in a land where his people would plant their crops, and just about the time that the crops were ready to harvest, the Midianites would come down from the hills and they would pillage the crops and take their food. Look at verse 11. It says there, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizurite and his son Gideon. And they threshed wheat, and almost all the different versions of the Bible here say in. The King James, I think, says by, but a better interpretation here is in. So he's threshing wheat in the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. Well, I've used this scripture many times in counseling over the years because it's a great passage of scripture to look and to see. And you'll see as we go through it how you can see how God can raise us up out of a pit, of a wine pit. Raise us up out of that pit. And we see that he's here. And number one, you don't thresh wheat in a wine press. In these days, mostly wine press. Of course, they didn't have. They were mainly a lot of times they were made of sandstone, and they would put it on the side of a hill so they could dig this hole out, and then they could drain the wine out as the ladies or whoever worked, you know, mashing up the grapes. So here we are. He's threshing wheat in a wine press. What do you think that looked like? Look, Gideon's down in the wine press. Wine presses were probably almost over your head. Probably about the size of a small room. And he's down there threshing wheat. What do you think he was doing? Do you know what you do? Anybody farm around here? We're in the Grange Hall here. They know all about wheat, don't they? Have you ever been around? When I was a kid, I used to feed the thresher. We met old John Deere tractor with a belt on it. Anybody ever seen those? Nobody here seen them. No farmers here? Anyway, he's down there threshing wheat. You take the heads of the wheat and you knock them on a bar. And the bar's up off like it, and all the head, the grain falls on the ground, and where does the chaff go? And when you're in a hole with all around, the chaff goes in and you're up your nose. Gideon is coughing. He's choking on the threshing the wheat. So we know usually what they did, a threshing floor, usually back when they had, especially this was in a valley area where they were at this time, and they would usually have a threshing floor down at the end of the valley, and it would be raised up a little bit so that they could be up, and there would be wind, they would catch the wind, and the chaff would be blown away, and the wheat would fall down. And it was a lot better situation than what Gideon was in. So Gideon is hiding down in a hole in the ground where they press the grapes. And he's choking on the dust. And he's hiding because he doesn't sense the presence of God. And he could have been up on the threshing floor if he was really strong and felt like he could face the Midianites. But no, he's hiding. And he doesn't sense the power of God. And he's confused about the plan of God. And he's saying, God, where are you? Where have you been? I've noticed three things about peace that is true about many of us, as it was of Gideon. Number one, we get robbed of peace in our life when we find out that pain is uncontrollable. Have you had pain lately? When you can't control your pain, emotional pain, physical pain, or the amount of the pain that you have, there's a lot of things in life that you can't control. Flight delays and traffic jams and little things, and then there's the big things, like war. You can't control it. Supreme Court, our government, politics. What a mess. What a mess. Well, we need somebody to lead us. Your finances may be out of control. You need Jehovah Jireh, the provider, God the provider. Some things are just uncontrollable. Things that are uncontrollable can rob us of our peace. Number two, there are some things that are unchangeable. Most people resist change. Some young ladies, they think they can marry a young man and then they're going to change him. How's that working for you? Some of you could tell me some stories. I used to do a lot of marriage counseling over in Greensboro. And I had them in my office and they'd say, he just won't change. I said, you should have thought about that. It's a little late. But you know, God can change people. It's all about surrendering the heart. And that's what can be done. But just people don't normally change that much. Well, the Midianites were oppressing Gideon's people and they were unchangeable. And when the people fail to change, it robs us of our peace. And when pain becomes uncontrollable, it robs us of our peace. Number three, when problems are unexplainable, it robs us of our peace. Gideon says to the Lord, where have you been? The angel of the Lord appears to him in verse 11. Look at verse 12. And he is hiding in the winepress. And then in verse 12 it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Wow! What do you think? Gideon is hiding in a winepress. And the angel comes and he says, thou mighty man of valor. I love this. You know why? When I had people in my office that were so beat up and so broken, I'd said, you know, God sees you where you are. And He knows your potential. And He knows when you surrender to Him what's going to happen in your life. And here's what He says. See, God sees the finished product of what we can become when we turn our lives over to Him. See, He knew that Gideon could be a great leader. So He called him that. And Gideon's going, oh, I don't know. What's he talking about? Great, a mighty man of valor. See, look at verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then all has this befallen us? And where are all the miracles that our fathers have told us about? And Gideon is saying what a lot of people are saying. When bad things happen to us, we want an answer. God, I want an answer. Why is this happening to me? We want an answer from God. And God, I need an explanation from you, God. I need an explanation. Why are all these things happening to me? And that's where Gideon is. You don't have to live very long until a problem comes along that you want explained. You want to know why. One of the personal names of God is Jehovah Shalom. That I am the God of peace. And that's what Gideon needs. He needs peace in his life. In fact, there's a world out there today that's fearful and undone and by the chaos that surrounds us in this world. And all we see is destruction and pain and death. But if the truth be known, right now in this sanctuary this morning, there's some people here that are undone and afraid, and you've lost your peace. The pain is uncontrollable. People are unchangeable, and the problems are unexplainable. Your peace is gone. See, Jesus knew all these things. He said in John chapter 14 and verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you." It's a gift. Not like the world gives you. The world will give you superficial peace. God gives real peace. Many people think peace is the absence of problems. Peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is the presence of Jesus in your life. Jesus is saying, you can't earn it, you can't buy it, you can't trade something for it. I'm going to give it to you as a gift. That's why he said in John chapter 15 and verse 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." This week, when you get down, you know one thing? We need to start fasting from media. We need a fast. I need a fast. But I need a fast from media, because I tell you, it can get you down. The more you watch, the deeper it gets. To just remember, he has overcome the world. Jesus said, "In me you have peace." Where do we get true peace? In him. Because the world is in chaos. And you can't get peace from chaos. I'm not talking about having a life free of conflict or with no interruptions or no strife. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the problem. I'm not talking about problem-free living. You'll have tribulation in this world, but Jesus said, you can have joy in this world because I will give you peace. And he's the only place you're really going to find true peace, God's peace. So, like the peace that God gave Gideon, you're going to have to do some things to get it. And here's one. First, you're going to have an acceptance in your life. You're going to have to accept God in your life. If you keep God out of your life, you're not going to have peace. Second, you're going to have a trust in your life. You're going to have to trust him for your soul, for everything. Third, there will have to be a surrender in your life. You're going to have to surrender your heart to him. The first thing Gideon had to do was accept God's plan for his life. And that's what we need to do. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, "I am not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God has a plan for your life this morning. And you must do what Gideon did. You must accept what cannot be changed. Gideon said, "God, where are you? Where are all the miracles that I've heard about?" Gideon says, "We have no peace in our life. We have no peace in our land. Our pain is uncontrollable, and these people just are unchangeable. And they're oppressing us, and they're stealing our crops, and we're starving. God, why is it this way?" "It's this way because I have a plan," God says. The plan for Gideon is unique to Gideon. It wasn't an easy plan, but God has a plan for every one of you here. I don't care what age you are. Boy, even this last week, there was some things I thought of, some changes in my life, going to be very big changes. And I'm thinking, God, at my age? But you know what? God's always got a plan because you're his child. Do you have plans for your children? Have you had plans for your children? God has plans for his children. Maybe some of you here have gotten some bad news this week. And you have an illness, a very serious one. And you don't like the plan. You should find the best doctors available. And you should pray all you can. It all depends on God. And you should work as though all things depend on you. You do all you can, but once it comes to the place that it can't be changed, then you tell God, "I accept your plan." I'm going to tell you, some of the worst things happened in my life. When I learned to finally accept what God had things changed. It wasn't that the situation was changed, but my heart changed. When we are totally put ourselves in the hand of God and we trust Him alone, then we can make it through life. But as long as we keep wrestling and wrestling, as many did in the Bible, you remember the Jacob ladder? His hip got out of joint. But the angel blessed him. Some have lost loved ones in the past few years, and I remember just 2 years ago I lost my little sister. She was younger than I, and it was very hard. She had over 100 surgeries. She was written up in some medical books because she'd had more surgeries than many people, all of them on her throat. From the time she was 3 years old to the time she was, till the day she left, she was still having surgery. I miss her. But we have a hard time accepting these things sometimes. It reminds me of King David. He had a hard time, and he fasted and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed like you and I have. Oh God, please don't let my son die. And his advisors came to him, and they were afraid to tell him what the news was. And if we tell him the son died, my goodness, he's in such grief now. He's almost lost his mind. What are we going to do? And he heard them whispering. And he said, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "Yes." And David did the unusual. He shaved, he bathed, and he ate. And then he worshipped. They said, "When the child was alive," they couldn't understand it. "When the child was alive, you acted with such distress, and now we told you he's dead, and you act like nothing's wrong. What's with this, David?" "I can go to him, but he cannot come to me. He will never come back to me. But one day, I'm going to see him. One day I'll be in heaven with him. I've got a son that I only know for a few days. And the Bible tells me in John that his face is ever before the Father." Some of you have lost children. Their face is before the Father. One day, see, I like sports a lot, and I had dreams of, you know, playing football and basketball and track, all the different things I did in high school with my kid. But, you know, one day I'll be with my son. Someday. That's why we need to train them up in the way they should go and make sure that they know the Lord Jesus. David was saying, I must accept what I cannot change, for God has a plan for me. And the Prince of Peace knows best. That's why Paul said in Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." God's peace passes all misunderstandings too, even when you misunderstand the heart of God. God will give you peace that will guard your heart and your mind. That's what Paul goes on to say in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the peace of God shall be with you." In health, you learn peace. In sickness, you learn peace. In times of death, we learn peace. In times of disaster, we learn peace. You don't get peace. It's something that you have to learn. It takes character to have peace. Paul says in the same chapter 4, he says, "I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound, and everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, and both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," the Prince of Peace. Peace is learned, and peace is a choice. And the choice is Jesus. You can feel like a victim all of your life, and you can blame God for all your troubles, or you can come to the place where you can say, "God is sovereign in heaven, and sometimes I can't explain why He allows what He allows. He's the God that I love, and He's the God that I trust." In Jeremiah 29:11 says, He has a plan for my life. And I have got to go through life knowing that He has a plan for my life, just like He had a plan for Gideon. You want me to tell you who gets the most stressed out today? It's the people that are consistently asking the question, why? Why? You can't get past the why. God, why? Listen, God doesn't owe you or me any explanations. And see, explanations, by the way, when you get them, don't bring you peace. Even when Gideon understood about his people, the evil ways that led to Midian's oppression, that isn't what gave him peace. Sometimes God doesn't explain. Have you ever had a time when God wouldn't speak to you about a situation that you wanted to know why? Maybe you're in that situation today. I think old Job, he lost it one day, all 10 children. All his children. He lost his family. He lost his animals, his farm. He lost his fortune. He lost his fitness, his health. He had boils from head to toe. He's left with a wife that says, why don't you just curse God? Great comforting mate. But see, don't be hard on her. You know why? She lost all her children. And for 37 chapters in Job, God doesn't say a word to Job. And he said, I want to see God. I want to know why. And God says nothing. Let me ask you a question. Can you be trusted with silence? If God never gave you an explanation for anything else in your life, could God trust you with that silence? Job didn't have the luxury that we have. He didn't know that God tests us. We have the book of Job, and we know that sometimes God tests us. Job didn't know that God and the devil had made a deal about him, and he still said at the very end, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. And God didn't say a word. Sometimes God does things in our life that we don't understand. And that's why Reinhold Niebuhr said this. He had his prayer, wrote this prayer. It's called the Serenity Prayer. Heard it? It's short here. Oh God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Do you know there's 8 more lines to that? Here they are. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did the sinful world as it is and not as it would have been, trusting that God will make all things right as I surrender to His will, so that I may reasonably be happy in this life and supremely happy in the life to come. Amen. That's pretty good, isn't it? We should say the whole prayer. Do you want peace? Someone in your life, you have to come to the place, sometimes you have to come to the place that you have to accept the things that you cannot change. The second thing is Gideon had to do was to acknowledge God's presence in his life. Not only accept his plan, but accept God's presence. Twice God said to Gideon, I am with you. 2 times he says, Gideon, I'm with you. Trust me, I will be with you. And I don't know what you're going through this morning in your life. It could be marriage problems, rebellious children or grandchildren. Some of the times we'd like to resign about being a parent or a grandparent, but there's no place to do that. Maybe you have had a bad report from the doctor and God has not forsaken you. In just one moment, our world can be turned totally upside down. One bad moment, we can be blown away with fear and doubt. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, Isaiah said this, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. There comes a time that we have not only accept what God brings our way, but We have to trust Him with our life. That's why Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Life is a test. Life is a process, and problems seem to stay around longer than blessings. Did you notice that? Well, Pastor, what is it? Because Adam, see, it happened because Adam took the apple from Eve, and he choked on it. And the world fell into sin. We have a fallen world. And most of the time, we make our own problems, and sometimes things happen, and it's nobody's fault. In John chapter 9, the disciples ran into a man that was blind, and they asked the Lord, "Who did sin, this man or his parents?" And Jesus answered, "Neither one. But the works of God should be made manifest in him." Sometimes God allows pain, painful things in our life, so that the Son of God will be glorified. You can be like Gideon was at first. You can hide from your problems, or you can try to take control of the problems all by yourself, or you can come to the place where you say, "God has a plan for my life, and I'm not sure I like the plan, but I'm going to accept it." And Gideon had to acknowledge that God had a plan, and he had to acknowledge God's presence. And the Prince of Peace comes to you when you acknowledge His plan and His presence. And the third thing is when you allow God's power into your life. Gideon said in verse 15 of Judges chapter 6, "God, how can I save Israel? My family is the poorest family in Manasseh, and I am the runt of the runts. I am the least of the least." Verse 17, Gideon asked for a sign. Look at verses 19 through 21. Gideon made ready an offering, cakes and flour and flesh, and put it in the basket, and he laid it on a rock, an altar. And the angel put forth a staff and touched the flesh, and swish, it was consumed with fire. Gideon saw God's power. He saw God's power. But you know what he felt? He felt God's peace. Fire rose up out of that rock and consumed the offering. You say, "Why can't God do that for me?" Because you have something just as great and greater. God has given us the Word of God. We have the Word of God to know His plan, to know His presence, and to know His power. God has given us His Holy Spirit. That is His power. Here, now, right now, we have the Holy Spirit of God. I tell you, if I didn't have the Holy Spirit in this pulpit, if I can remember in my first grade reading class, I was in the Brown reading group. I had to work for all week with my dad just to try to memorize the words because I was the worst reader there was. Anybody ever been there? And when I was in high school, if I had to give a speech, I would stand up and the water would run off of me and I was shaking like a leaf. But one day, God called me to preach. He called Balaam's donkey into service too. Here's a secret. Somewhere in your life, you must surrender to the power of God in your life. You must let the Holy Spirit take control of your life. Acknowledge His presence and say, "God, You are in charge of my life and You're Lord of my life." See, He's not just Savior. He wants to be Lord of your life. You know, I love the picture years ago of the chair, the throne in your heart. Have you seen that picture? That's an illustration. And they put the cross right up in the seat of the chair. When Jesus is on the throne of your heart, things are going a whole lot better. You know what we do? We keep kicking him off, and we put ourselves back on the throne. And that's when we get in trouble. Some of you are at war with God this morning, and you're at war because you are battling God about something in your life that you just won't turn loose. You just won't let go. I want to tell you something. Your arm is too short to box God. There comes a time that you have to allow God to fight your battles. Jehovah Nisi, that's another sermon. God, my defender. To give over to Him that which you are holding on to. and allow Him to fight your battle. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." God wants everything in your mind to be filtered through His Spirit, not through your flesh. To be fleshly minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 22, look at verse 22. Gideon perceived that the man was an angel of God, and he feared death. And in verse 23, the Lord said, "Peace be unto you, do thee, fear not." Psalm 119, 165 says, "Great peace have they which love the law, and nothing shall offend them." Surrender is always marked by obedience. God gives Gideon his instructions, and he begins to become the mighty man of valor that he was called, and it was a joke early on. But now he becomes that. And if you go home today, if you want to read chapter 7 and chapter 8, you'll find out that Gideon had an army. God gave him an army of 32,000. Remember this story? You Sunday school teachers know it. And then he cuts it down to 10,000. And then he puts them by the creek, and those that were, you know, lap like a dog, he gets rid of those, and he gets down to 300. So all know that God gave the victory. God gave the victory with 300. The odds were like 1,000 to 1. You may be, you know, little old Israel, but sometimes I think about it. There's 6 or 7 Arab nations around them, and they all keep coming, more of them, back into this war. But they're God's people. They're God's chosen people. In the book of Revelation, it says one day, in one day, they'll all be saved. I don't know how that works out. I studied that for years. I still don't know how it works out. But God, they're God's people. They're the apple of His eye. And He will take care of them. You may be an uncontrollable circumstance this morning. You may be married to a person that's unchangeable. My wife says I am. You may be unexplainable in a problem that you're in. But the good news is you can have peace. You can make peace with God. And you do it by surrender. God doesn't want a reluctant heart this morning. He wants a surrendered heart. That's why Paul said in Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." It is by faith that you are justified. The greatest source of stress for the sinner is being at war with God. Gideon was hiding. He was questioning. He was doubting. And what did God do when Gideon doubted? He consumed the sacrifice. Colossians 1:20 says, "By Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross." God wants to make peace with you this morning. Don't be at war anymore with God. God put His Son on the cross for you. He took all the turmoil, all the chaos of sin, all the pain, all the sacrifice to bring you peace. He tried to show Gideon the fire, and the judgment fell on the sacrifice. Right after that, you know what happened? Look at verse 24. "Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. God is my peace." You say, how can I have peace? Romans 15:13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." You must believe. You must acknowledge God's presence. You must accept God's plan, and you must allow God's power in your life. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. See, I'm pretty sure that many of you here have peace with God. But the question I asked you this morning is, do you have the peace of God? See, we made peace with God when we turned our hearts over to Him. But it's more to be just saved. He needs to be Lord of my life. And I don't just want peace with God. I want the peace of God. We live in this fallen world. I know that God has greater purpose for your lives, many of them. than the problems that you're going through right now. There are a lot of things I don't know, but one thing I do know. God is more interested in your character than he is in your comfort. I'll say that again. God is more interested in your character this morning than he is your comfort. If everything went perfect, we would all be spoiled children. Psalm says, 103, verse 14 says this, God knows your frame, how fragile you are, and how much you can handle. He says, but you are just dust. God's plan always requires pain. But God's reward is always according to your response to your pain. It's how we respond. Have you ever noticed that in life? People go through big problems. Some people come out shining with great. It's how they respond to the pain and the losses that we have, the pain that we suffer. Thank God Jesus suffered for us on that cross. Bow with me in prayer, would you? Lord Jesus, there's a lot of us that are hurting. All kinds of reasons, all kinds of pain, all kinds of suffering. But Lord, you suffered for us. You took all of our pain. You took it all upon you. And Lord, we will someday, and someday soon, I believe, stand before you. And what a wonderful day that's going to be forgiven because of your blood. I pray peace upon this church. I pray about the future of this church. Lord, that you would put your hand upon this church and give it peace. And let it bring peace to this community. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to sing. I'll be up here if someone wants to pray, or we're going to sing a hymn.